Ya.
We'll see how the questions come. Mm-hmm. All right, who has the first question? Yes?
Are there different kinds of relationships that everybody can have? So, how do you understand the different thinkings? Are there different thinkings for different relationships that everybody has?
What do you mean, different systems, symptoms?
Well,
you've read Nectar of Devotion?
Yes.
Well, what is there is there. See, different relationships with Krishna, they have different tastes. There's some common elements that they share that compose the taste, but they're also unique elements. When Krishna returns from the forest in Vrindavan, you get to see a lot of the rasas in action. He's surrounded by his cowherd boyfriends. They're all playing their flutes. And the cowherd boys are discussing Krishna's adventures in the forest and glorifying him in friendship. They don't think that Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. They think he's our friend and he does amazing things. That's happening as they're emerging from the forest into Vrindavan. And then the gopis, they're waiting and they have a different flavor. They've been morose all day because Krishna has been gone. They're feeling the pain of separation, which is transcendental bliss. So when Krishna returns from the forest, they look at his face, smiling and covered with dust raised by the hooves of the cows. So that is their treat. The treat of the gopis is Sri Mukha, the face of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then another rasa is demonstrated by Mother Yashoda and Mother Rohini. They are eager to receive Krishna at home and bathe him and feed him and put him to sleep on nice bedding while telling him stories. They think the Supreme Personality of Godhead needs a bath. He's hungry, so he has to be fed. So in this way, you see how Vrindavan has these different tastes, and they're all perfectly in relation to Krishna. Yoga Maya works in the Loka Vrindavan and the material world. Yoga Maya doesn't work in Vaikuntha. In the Loka Vrindavan, Yoga Maya works to make sure that everyone treats Krishna not as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That magnifies the enjoyment of the Lord, to have persons really dealing with him as lovers and friends and parents. And that same Yoga Maya manifests those pastimes in the material world. It is the internal potency of the Lord, the Yoga Maya, that presents the Lord's pastimes in the material world and allows them to be seen by qualified persons. That's all done by the Yoga Maya potency. What you read in Nectar Devotion and Chaitanya Charitamrita, that is what's going on. Yes.
In the study practicing Bodhi Bhakti, Chandra on the stand and Sister Rasa, generally on the answers is normally at least in relationship to the deity is more Aishvarya or observance rather than trying to understand a particular rasa. Is that the problem here?
Yes. Even if you have Radha Krishna deities in your temple, they are being worshipped as Lakshmi Narayan, according to very strict procedures and protocols. Whereas Sanatana Goswami, he had Radha Krishna deities and he was keeping them in a tree and feeding them dry chapatis, that's all he had to offer them. And the deities, they spoke to him that, can you at least put some salt on the chapatis? Sanatana Goswami said, I'm sorry, this is the best I can do, you know? Yes, it is very dangerous in the Vaidhi Bhakti stage to become prematurely ripe, like a fruit that falls off the tree before it's ripe. It's very dangerous. First deserve, then desire. Never from your lowly position aspire. Ah, yes, that's me. First deserve. And then you merit to desire, but never from the low level aspire. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's policy was always just keep yourself back a bit. Don't like lunge forward and into these, thinking that, oh, now I'm so advanced. Even when you are actually advanced and on that platform, you still keep yourself a bit back. You don't overtly embrace all these things. Yes, yes, that's me. You always have a very respectful attitude from a bit of a distance, even in the advanced stage. And furthermore, someone who's actually situated in spontaneous love of Krishna, they perform the sadhana. Their spontaneous love of Krishna is within. They don't demonstrate it by dropping their sadhana. Any other questions? Ladies, any questions? Anyone else?
I'm not going to go into on free diet at the moment. On free diet.
Oh, really? The latest thing here in Perth, Monday? Fruit diet. Yes?
I'm just wondering how far you take it, you know? It's,
How far you take it? Well, I don't know all the individual circumstances, and you know, sure, every situation is individual. The general principle is you should eat to serve. Sometimes it's so that for your future performance of devotional service, you need to fast now or take care of your health now for a future benefit. But in any case, the general rule is you eat to serve. Taking prasad is service, prasad seva. When you understand that taking prasad is meant to increase your devotional service. So I cannot comment on, you know, these kind of things because I don't know the details. Everything is individual, you know. It's very easy to just kind of paint everybody with a paintbrush. Oh, those people on fruit diet. We like to do that as Hare Krishna, you know. Get out a big paintbrush and paint everybody one color. All the book distributors, or all the householders, or all the sannyasis. Just paint everybody, you know. Fun, isn't it? That's the impersonalism. we should be very careful in categorizing devotees. Yeah. Throwing them all in one pot and then boiling the water. Like that, you know, boiling devotees. No, we should appreciate devotees. That is our concentration, how to appreciate the different contributions that devotees are making. Yes? Can you give me an example?
Perhaps like if you're trying to sell something, then you may not say the truth about who you are or what the product is.
More details, please.
I guess this is from my background, and going back to paraphernalia distribution, that's what I started on, and it's like, the whole move doesn't matter what you say, as long as you sell it.
Mm-hmm. You're referring to some individual devotee who's out making a living doing something?
Generalization, where sometimes the mood is that we're above, you know, the law of the land, you know.
We are, but... A Vaishnava is above the law of the land. A devotee of Lord is above the law of the land. But the current society doesn't recognize the value of the Vaishnava. Therefore, for preaching purposes, we try not to upset the material society unnecessarily. Just by doing devotional service, you are upsetting. Just like when I was at Lana and Raj, we were coming back from the swimming pool in Sydney a few days ago. And so I got on the bus down at the Sydney Harbour, North Sydney, to go back up the hill to Falcon Street where the temple is. And, I handed the bus driver, $1.40. And he looked at me and, first of all, I could tell as soon as we walked onto the bus, he kind of gave a funny look like, it was the first stop of the bus. So, I just handed him the money and called Falcon and Miller. He just took the money and he said, Falcon and Miller, that's $2.50. And I said, no. It's $1.40. That's what we always pay. And then he had some kind of this thing where you press the button and it comes out with a price. And so he pressed the button on the dial that said $1.40, and I looked over and saw, and he got really mad. Look, you're wasting my time. I've been doing this job for 20 years. I just held up my hand, took the money back. We just walked off the bus and got another one 2 minutes later. So, here we were, and this guy just lost it, So, we don't have to go out of our way to upset society just by being devotees and preaching Krishna's message. You will cause a bit of a stir. Mm. Book distributors know that you can be as sweet as you can imagine you can be, but there are some people who don't want you out there. That's the way it is. They don't want you out there. And they take offense. like you were telling me, experience of the Harigong party. There's just some people who, you know, no matter what you do, they're going to complain. But we don't have to go out of our way to agitate them. It's like in the early days of the Krishna conscious society. You know, we'd rent houses anywhere, and that would be the temple. And of course, we would have, you know, huge, loud kirtans in the early morning. And if the neighbors protested, we'd say, just see. The kirtan is potent, the demons are disturbed. The shastras end. When the kirtan is potent, the demons become disturbed. So, we have to go out of our way to agitate them. We have to do things tastefully. At the same time, it is true, and a devotee is above these mundane laws of society. It is true, everything belongs to Krishna. But we have to be careful. Guidance is required. Just like in Melbourne, there was a famous incident of the devotees who were taken to court for taking flowers from some nursery. And so one lawyer defended the devotees successfully, and the lawyer came to see Prabhupada. You can still see this on video right now. Prabhupada told him, "You have pleased Krishna." He told the lawyer that, "You have pleased Krishna. You have defended the devotees. You have pleased Krishna by your service." And Prabhupada explained that, "What's the big deal? They took a few flowers to offer the deities. In India, any gentleman would be very happy that you took flowers to offer to the deities. What is the big deal?" And so he was praising the lawyer. Now, naturally, devotees, they took it that, well, we shouldn't cause these kind of disturbances. We shouldn't go raiding nurseries. They took it in that way. But Prabhupada took advantage of the situation to make a transcendental point, which we shouldn't take advantage of. Just like, and in New York, we were going out collecting funds by telling people we were sending the money to Bangladesh, because this was the time of the war between Bangladesh and Pakistan or something like that, and so many people were starving in Bangladesh, so it was good fundraising. We go on the subways in New York and say things like, you know, "Please help, let us help the people, their children dropping like flies, even though they're human beings," and things like that. And Prabhupada heard about it, and he said, "First of all, if you're actually collecting for Bangladesh feeding people, then the money should actually be sent for that." He was open, you know, "Send more money to India." He's always on the lookout for more funds for projects in India. And he said, "Secondly, it is true that in Krishna's service," and he quotes, he said this, "you can say any damn thing." "But we have to be careful that neophytes may become disturbed. So this platform of action is for advanced devotees, and a neophyte will be disturbed. But it is true," he said, "everything belongs to Krishna." So he wouldn't back away from that point. But then he gave some practical steps how to execute the principle. He said, "You have to be, you know, neophytes will become disturbed. They'll think it's being dishonest." And then he ended up by saying, "I think there's sufficient merit in our books that you can just present them as they are, and people will appreciate." But he said, also said, "But that is a gradual art. And in the meantime, don't diminish your BBT payments." he was shifting between the absolute and the relative very expertly, very masterfully. You could really see the self-realization of Srila Prabhupada, how he, you know, they turned it this way and that way, this way and that way. So, yes, we've had many examples of overzealousness by devotees, and it has caused disturbances. Still, the transcendental point is there. Everything does belong to Krishna. Suffice to say that devotional service requires guidance. requires input from superiors, then we're protected from either becoming mundane moralists or artificial transcendentalists. And business is business. Yeah. For you, we're making no profit. That's business is business. Yeah. Yes?
Further on this point, it seems to me that sometimes the way we say, well, I'm doing this for Krishna, or in some moral principle, and sometimes we see that that's the way he continues in all areas of their life.
Can you give an example? Can you give an example?
Without a personal attack, no, I'm sorry. I know a personal example where I've seen this in action, that constantly cheating as the relationship, and they don't know where it stops.
That's a good point. Therefore, the answer is guidance. Guidance is required. That will keep you safe from going into the extreme of being a mundane moralist and the other extreme of being an artificial transcendentalist. Everything does belong to Krishna. And a devotee is above the law, but for the sake of preaching in this kind of society, you can't act like that. Just like Arjuna, he's killing, but Krishna has asked him to do that. Now, you could also say, well, then people will take advantage of Bhagavad Gita. But the whole point is that Arjuna's killing was authorized. Krishna was personally there. So Prabhupada resolved this situation by saying, just as Arjuna was acting under guidance, similarly we have to act under guidance in devotional service and not do things whimsically. That is the safeguard. Arjuna's killing. So some people, they get very upset that this Bhagavad Gita could just inspire whimsical holy wars. So many people saying, God told us to fight. God told us to go to war. Now, of course, in Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Lord is right there presenting his qualifications. And he's telling Arjuna, Mama Nusmaram with Yujam Cha, fight and think of me. Yes.
Sometimes you read how, should have thought how his disciples, he was having relationships with his disciples. So sometimes, one scripture must know also be casually friendly like that. How should the disciple always, how can the disciple act so that he doesn't give you the fence for?
By always meditating on the lotus feet of the spiritual master. It's very easy for neophytes to make offenses by being too close to the deity or the spiritual master. So, worship of the spiritual master begins at the feet. Shri Guru Charana Padma. If you're always a servant of the feet, then you'll stay out of trouble. There's a risk in the teacher-student relationship, guru-disciple relationship. There's a risk. Just like, for example, it's not that the spiritual master can tell the disciple anything, because the disciple's conditioned. Therefore, the relationship is restricted by how conditioned the disciple is. It's not at all because someone's disciple that they can be told, they can be given any order and they're going to surrender. Forget it. So therefore, it's a great art. The spiritual master has to see how much this person is going to follow. Because if the spiritual master gives an instruction and the disciple doesn't follow it, that's an offense. At the same time, if no instruction is given, the disciple may commit even worse offenses. So it's a very paradoxical situation. Prabhupada himself said, if all my disciples would simply do what I wanted them to do, Krishna consciousness would take over the world in 18 days. I saw that statement with my own eyes. Krishna consciousness would take over the world in 18 days if all my disciples would do what I wanted them to do. So to some degree, always, disciples are rascals. You know, they've got their motives and their agenda, and Krishna consciousness is a process of purification, and we all want to come to the stage of being expert disciples. Expert disciple means one who knows the desires of the spiritual master, even without being ordered. And as you know, second class is to do what you're told, and last class is not to do what you're told. But the first class doesn't even need to be told, anticipates. That means a very profound relationship. Any personal relationship is like that, just like a married man. You know, if he comes home and everything just happens the way that pleases him the most, the wife does everything, then he's feeling very good. Yeah. Just the right kind of prasad that he wants is on the table. Yeah. Everything just works without him having to say it. Then he feels very indebted. You know, the old style, even in the Western world, 30, 40 years ago, the old style of home life where the man would be working and the wife would be at home all day and he'd come home from work and his slippers would be waiting by his favorite chair, you know. And his favorite beer would be, right there, and the television would be on to the, the favorite channel, and I'm a real man. So, in a deep relationship, anticipation is a great part, plays a great part, to anticipate someone's desires even before they say them. It always makes you feel grateful. Therefore, if you at least just concentrate on the feet, that's what I did when I first thing met Prabhupada, I just worked at his feet. Some devotees were introducing me, citing my bad karma university background. I was just looking at Prabhupada's feet saying, I'm a fool. He saved me from material existence. I remember, Prabhupada just kind of looked me over from head to toe. Just kind of looked me over from head to toe and just said, That was it. That's the sound. You're saying, this is a suitable suitable fool to be saved by the Hare Krishna mantra. This is a suitable demonstration of the potency of the mantra. If you rescue this guy. So you remember that Sri Guru Chadanapadma. Yeah. you have to understand that, you know, most devotees, most of Prabhupada's disciples never had any personal contact with him. Yeah. He did tell Gaurijan Prabhu that, "I wish I could personally train all my disciples." It wasn't possible. Such a risk he took, such a heavy burden he took. One devotee, Tamohar, one of my godbrothers, was there when Prabhupada was commenting on the kinds of people that were becoming devotees, and he was saying, "Krishna's sending me all the crazies." He just depended on Krishna. Whatever Krishna sent him, he tried to engage. Any other questions? Yes. Temples are not for crazy people. Prasad distribution is for them. But temples aren't for crazy people, nor are they for lazy people. Why just harp on the crazies? How about the lazies? You'll find that in the fifth canto, the Prabhupada writes, our temples are not places for, they're not clubs for useless, lazy persons. You're supposed to be active and productive if you're part of the temple. Temple's not a crash pad. It's not a, I don't know, you know, do they use these words, this word for this phrase here, a holding tank? In the police station, that's what, they have a cell where they just lump all the prisoners in before they separate them to send to different prisons in the city. So the space is called a holding tank. So the temple's not a holding tank for until you figure out what, you know, if I want to go this direction or that direction. Those who live in the temple have an obligation to be actively engaged in Krishna's service. It's not a place just for eating and sleeping. It's a place for activity of the highest type. So certainly, rather than just bring dubious people here, it's always good to have some discretion. More than ever, society is so problematic. All the vices and mental illnesses have increased. So you have to be very careful. You just can't throw anybody in the ashram because they could cause great disturbances. These days you need a facility where you can kind of check the person out over a period of time before you think about moving them in the temple. Let them demonstrate, you know, what their mentality actually is. I'll never forget myself. Although generally in the early days of the Hare Krishna movement, anybody could walk in the door and, "Hey, come on in. You want to live here?" The way it was, it's bliss. Come on in, you know, spot in the floor for you. The hippie days, you know, it was like that. You'd go somewhere on a preaching engagement, there'd be a room full of hippies, and you just, you know, after the Bhagavad Gita class, you know, for the prasad and the kirtan, you just look around and say, "Okay, who wants to shave up?" You're out on traveling sankirtan somewhere, you do a program, and this is a sincere boy there, and so you're about to drive off back to the temple, a few hours drive, so you give it all you've got, "Okay, Bill, do you want to surrender? Do you want
Yeah, just jump in the van, Bill. That's all you gotta do. Leave the material world behind.
Bill, you gonna do it? You gonna get out of Maya, Bill? Come on, Bill. Just make that step. It's now or never, Bill. Just get in the van with us and, you know, you're in the spiritual world.
That's the way it was,
generally. But I know myself, when I decided I was going to want to live in the temple, I was already chanting 13 rounds a day, and, you know, still, I remember the person in charge is, well, you know, we'll have to check you out, we'll have to see, you know, and like that. That was unusual back then. So we've learned a few things over the years. But mainly we should be more concerned with the ladies than the crazies. Having ladies in the temple really makes a very unattractive atmosphere. It really drags the atmosphere. And they attract more ladies. Because what happens is that, you know, people find out, hey, it's kind of a nice place where you can just kind of be a bit spiritual and do a little service and eat nicely, sleep nicely with no pressure. Yeah. The ladies start attracting more like them. So, they're more of a problem, the ladies, than the crazies. Anything else?
And actually, we're trying to encourage young devotees to participate in Hare Nama. Because it's a very important feature of our movement is to actually do Hare Nama. And what we seem to, the devotees are very easy, is to think to how to do that and encourage them to do it.
You're there? Well, I'm sure by your enthusiasm, they'll all, you know, become inspired. Especially if you keep it up over the duration. Krishna consciousness is meant to be outgoing. It's not really temple bound at all. The temples are bases from which we go out and have contact with the people. The temples are not like places where we just seal ourselves off in them and just get in each other's faces all the time. No, the temples are bases from which we go out to distribute the holy name, distribute books, both types of mridangas, Brihad Mridanga, the book distribution, the small mridanga, the Harinam Sankirtan. That's required for devotees to constantly go out and be in contact with the public, then there's life. The more you can do that, the more enlivened you'll be. But the temple just becomes a, you know, place to live very softly and not do much. Then you'll be, feel morose, and eventually material desires will carry you away. And enlivened temple is one in which there's always contact made with the outside world. Devotees are always going out, distributing books, chanting parties, prasad distribution, just day after day after day. Otherwise, why would you want to be in the city? You're in the city for spreading Krishna consciousness. Yes. You have 1 million people or so here in Perth, and they're isolated. They can't escape. Desert on some side, and the water on the other side. So you should just consider them your people for having daily contact with. Everybody can do some kind of contact work. If you can't see your way to book distribution, then you can do Harinam, prasad distribution, something. If you take up that mood of always being out, then so many people will come forth to your Sunday feasts, to your programs, to your festivals. The more outgoing you are, the more Lord Chaitanya will bless you. The temples are places to keep your spiritual strength and build your spiritual strength for going out. All right. And that's enough for tonight. Hare Krishna.